Welcome here to Superpowered Pop with DT and EB. Dan Satora hanging out in the studios. My guy, Mark Dodson, he's been on the show numerous times. He's coming to the CNY Pop Festival. This is in our archive, so if you're listening to this post the CNY Pop Festival, we appreciate you listening as well because we love telling the story of Mark Dodson. Love having him here. He's good people, hardworking, and outside of terrifying me personally with the gremlins, I've had a very good experience with the person himself. So with that being said, Mark Dodson is here with us to talk about the CNY Pop Festival and so much more. Mark, you know that you're probably one of the worst people I've met on the planet, but yet I still feel like I need to talk to you.
Thank you.
We obviously know that that's a joke. If I meant that, I think I'd get a nice hang up on this. But no, Mark, in actuality, you're one of the nicest people out there on the planet. And you know, you've done a lot of work to substantiate.
Whoa. You were telling the truth before. Why are you going here now?
I don't know. You know, I figured I got to make you look good. I mean, you know. If,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. So
yes, I'm a real jerk, actually. Don't come see me. Come and see Felix. He's fun.
Yeah. Mark Dodson, he's good people. We all know that. And anybody that's listened to Superpowered Pop, you know that Mark and I have had plenty of very awesome conversations, philosophical and deep. So, Mark, you've done so much work, and you're constantly working and expecting more out of yourself as you go on. What keeps you hungry and what keeps you in this business? Because you have that resume, but you every time we talk, you know, you're working on something. And I know right now, talking with us, you got a bunch of stuff coming up as well.
You know, I'm always working. I'm between, you know, commercial work and video game. Video games keep me really busy. Like right now, I'm in the middle of all the Halloween haunts that I voice all the commercials for. Actually, New York City, I just did their spot the other day, and Chicago, L.A., the market. So I'm real busy. What keeps me going? I think, honestly, I never really thought about it. I the way I was raised, I don't have a choice. I'm a worker. It really kind of made me think about it. I guess I grew up in a very blue collar home, and the harder you worked, the more you were respected, and you worked hard and played hard. You know, I grew up in the '60s. That was kind of the thing, and I love what I do. I do enjoy my time off when I can get some. I'm not one of those people, you know, that has to always be. You know, I'm really good at kicking back and enjoying a cigar and a glass of wine. So, but I don't, you know, I love what I do. And I'll tell you what else keeps me going is when I get a lot of offers every day. I'm sent auditions and parts and some things that they think they know they want me for without having to audition. So I think always looking for the next really cool character or really well-written, believe it or not, even just a well-written commercial that I can really get into. Or I think that's what it is. That key, after this 35 years now, is always kind of excited to see what the next script is that I get. And then it's exciting when it's well-written and the character, I like the character. It's exciting to do. And then I get, you know, the majority of what I get is stuff that I'm like, I don't want to do. And so I don't have to do it anymore. I don't even audition for it. I'm like, I don't really like this character, or the writing isn't working for me. It's not flowing. I don't feel it. You know, we always say, I don't feel it. That's a real thing. It's like, I'm not feeling this. I can't get into it. So, you know, that's it. And I love it. And, you know, like I started out saying, I don't have a choice. It's what I do. What else would I do? Well, <no. laughs> anymore. I mean, I've done a lot. I took breaks in between. You know, I've made it into this business by being a laborer and a carpenter at Skywalker Ranch. So I worked hard physically, and took a break in the late '80s. I needed a break from it and went back up to Marin County. And got a job at a Petrini's grocery store, and they made me an apprentice butcher. I really enjoyed that. I really did. But about 3 years into it, I started missing this, doing the voice work. I was like, okay, I had enough of a break. I'm going to get back into the voice work. So, because those earlier years were a lot harder, I'd done some big stuff, but you're still not so established to where you can count on that you're going to have enough work every year to pay all your bills. So, you know, now I'm in a place where I don't worry. Wow, is that a long answer? I guess we're done. Pretty more than that.
I actually left the studio and came back. You're fine.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Everybody go grab a soda, use the restroom. No. And I'll just talk to myself here for a minute, which is what I do most of the time. I'm really good at that.
See, but that's you and I can appreciate that because, I mean, you being a voice actor, I've been a broadcaster for the last 15 years and counting. So it is the crazy thing of when we're doing work, we are essentially sitting in a studio alone. So we are talking with people. We are affecting lives, we hope, in a positive way. But, you know, speak to that a little bit because you and I understand that world, you know, in our own way of you go and you put the headphones on, you turn the microphone on, and you do all of this production and all of this work inside of your studio, and it goes out to people, and people listen, and they hear it, and they feel it, and hopefully it gives them something positive. But in the moment, we are sitting in a room talking to ourselves. There's nobody else sitting in the room with us.
Yes, and fortunately, it's a padded room. Yeah. Yeah, we do. And so, for me anyway, it comes down to with the script or the copy that I'm working with, because it is much more, you know, I have a home studio. We do a lot more stuff alone than we used. In the early days, you were always at a studio. People didn't have home studios. It wasn't possible to do like we do now. So there were, you were there with a director, a producer, the writer maybe, the client. And you had a lot of interaction, and that was fun. Now we do it pretty much alone, and so now you have to please yourself. You know, I have to please myself, like what I've the read that I've done. I do a lot of takes. You know, this stuff doesn't happen with one take. I would like to say it does, but the truth is, I do a lot of takes. Typically, if I have a 30-second commercial, I will get in my booth and do, I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 20 takes on that script. Take 20 to 30 minutes of working it. Then I will take it into my control room and edit it, cut it together, after just talking to myself for that hour, edit it, cut it, clean it up, make it sound pretty, sweeten it, EQ it, compress it, make it into a waveform, send it to the client, and then just wait to hear. 90% of the time they come back and say, we love it, it's great, we're going to play it for the client, we'll let you know, and then you hear back, the client loves it, great, send us the invoice. And then sometimes it comes back and they say, well, we might want you to do a little more of this on it or that, or, you know, can you sound a little tougher here and nicer there, and, you know, just little tweaks. But yeah, it is. It's a lot of working by ourselves now, isn't it? I'll tell you what, although it would add a lot of hours to my day if I had to travel from studio to studio like we used to, I would almost rather do that. I miss the camaraderie of the studio dogs, you know.
Yeah,
I really do. And the, you know, an engineer is everything, so I've gotten to be a pretty good engineer, because you got to make yourself sound good, and you know, there's a good, and it's nice to be friends with a really good engineer, because they can make you or break you. They really can. So yeah, it's lonely in here. Somebody let me out.
I have to ask you about, now I've over the past few years I've seen you you know, facial hair, sans facial hair, you know, certain facial hair being there and whatnot. I have to ask you this because I have a side-by-side in front of me. And
what the hell are you talking about?
The
facial hair?
Yeah, your facial hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so your facial hair.
Beard.
Yeah, your beard. So I'm looking at it, and it eerily resembles Mark Hamill right now. So you both have worked on Star Wars. I want to know if you're channeling the Mark Hamill look right now.
No. It is weird that we do. But, you know, it's funny. Ever since Force Awakens, you know, I already looked like that. He decided to look like that for Jedi, for the movie. I get on Facebook, I don't know how to say this, I'm not a big Facebook guy. What is it when it like tags, when Facebook tags, like you didn't tag it, Facebook tagged it.
Yeah.
And I keep getting all the Mark Hamill stuff, all the Luke's, the new Luke Skywalker,
yeah,
with Mark Luke, with his beard and everything. Everything, it keeps automatically tagging, and I have to keep deleting all these things. And people are even saying, why does this keep tagging Mark Dodson? It's like, well, look at the picture. We look a lot alike now.
Yeah.
That's why. So the face recognition thing on Facebook. So you're right, I do kind of look like him now, a little bit.
So are the important part is...
It's just the beard, I guess. Maybe, yeah, the scowl, I don't know. He kind of has that scowl now that I guess we kind of have the same...
See, but when, you know, so you're getting tagged on Facebook, but the important thing is, are the checks going to you now as well?
Hell no. 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 No, Mark gets the checks. I don't get the size checks he gets. Are you kidding?
We gotta call Mark Hamill about that. Now, before we get into the CNY...
Yeah, call him, would you?
We gotta call him and figure this out. But before we get into the CNY Pop Festival, I did want... There's a couple things. One of them with Facebook and one of them with Star Wars coming up. Episode 9, there was this conversation of, and I know that you worked with the original trilogy and obviously with Salacious and other characters, and you were on The Force Awakens as well. So in this upcoming episode, episode 9, there was the conversation of, are they going to have Princess Leia or not? Is Carrie Fisher going to somehow, some way be involved, even though she has passed on? And how could they make it happen? So there was the, yes, they're going to put her in it, then no, they're not going to put her in it. And then it came out that, yes, they are. They're going to use footage from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, the extra footage that they shot. What do you think about this? Because in Episode 8, they could have had her pass away on screen when her base was, you know, her air base was attacked and she had, you know, gone out the window and whatnot. But there was that moment where the Force was within her more than we've ever seen before, and she floated her way back into the base and was able to use the Force to save her life. But so she made it through. In a part, we thought, okay, well, she's passed on. This would make sense. This is how they're going to kill her off on Star Wars, and this is what's going to happen. But she's alive in the Star Wars world, even though she's passed on in reality. And in Episode 9, they're going to use the footage from Episode 7 to try to keep her alive. What do you think about the decision of this, and how would you like to see them say a farewell to her in Star Wars?
Well, first of all, is it Episode 8, right? Episode 8, when they did that, of course, you know, when she got blown out of the ship, and we all thought, because Carrie had passed on, we all, right, very quickly through our mind was, oh, just what you said, very quickly through my mind was, oh, that's how they're going to get rid of her. She's going to be, and, you know, and that's it, and there she goes. And then she wasn't dead, and she came back and used the Force and was able to come back. I loved that. I loved it. I thought it was just beautiful, because it did exactly, you know, you're like, okay, there she goes. Oh no, she's still, that was an awesome, didn't that feel awesome?
Well, it, I know, definitely a lot of people threw you off.
For some people, pardon me?
I said it definitely threw you off, because everybody thought, here's the moment.
Yeah.
And then she opened her eyes and put her hand out and she's using the Force to get back into the base. I thought it was genius. Good misdirection.
I thought it was genius because we all immediately thought that's it, and then I thought that was genius. So then on to the next question about that, with her being brought back. Okay, well, if they were going to CG her in or any of that, I didn't want them to do that. That was my own personal. I didn't want them to. Obviously, after 8, we knew she has to be back in 9. And I've been in the industry long enough to know they've got enough footage of her. They've got enough footage that ended up on that cutting room floor, just not because it wasn't good, just because it didn't work into where they were in the edit. I was like, they've got plenty of footage. They could easily have enough to bring her back in 9. And I was thinking they're going to have to bring her back to finally let her go. I love it. I think they should. How do I want to see it? It needs to be a very noble death befitting a princess. Yeah. I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it'll be very noble. I'm sure it will be very moving. I have a feeling my eyes will fill with tears because I'm sure they're going to do it right with a lot of respect. And I'm looking forward to seeing how exactly what they come up with. But I love it. And I loved The Last Jedi. I loved it. I have a theory of, I know a lot of fans weren't real happy with it, but I have a theory, which is we all thought, okay, we're going to find out who Rey is. We're going to have all these questions answered. We already know. We're going to find all these things out. Carrie's going to be gone. She's going to die, and all that. And not only did we not find out who Rey is, we were left with even more questions. We left the theater going, I know even less than I thought I knew.
Yeah.
And that upset the fans. And here's why. See, and it didn't upset me, and I have a feeling it didn't upset those who are my age, because you see, we had to wait 3 years to get our questions answered after Star Wars. And then we had to wait, and then we got the answers, a lot of answers in Empire Strikes Back. And then we left there with more questions, and we had to wait 3 years to have those questions answered. Today's generation, they didn't even have to wait 5 minutes because they power watched Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. They got all the answers on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay? For them so they want that. They want that immediate. I want to know the answer now. I don't want to wait. I happen to like cliffhangers. I love cliffhangers. And if I got to wait a year or 2 years or 3, I'm good with that. And then, there's an old saying, and, people get upset, well, George shouldn't have done this or that, or Disney shouldn't have done that with Mark Hamill and, with Luke. And it's like, man, first of all, as you also see now, Luke's going to be back. I told everybody, I was like, he'll be back, man. That wasn't the end. He may be back. I don't know. He may be back in human form, or he will at least be back as a spirit with the Force.
Yeah.
Like Yoda and Obi-Wan and all of them. Darth Vader or Anakin. He'll be back. I'm real happy with it. So there's an old saying that goes like this. It goes, if you want to see God laugh, tell him your plans.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of added to that. And I said, and if you want to see George laugh, tell him your plans for Star Wars. So, we don't get to, that's, George gets to decide that. Just like God gets to decide a lot of things that I didn't really want to go that way. But then I got to go with it. And I got to make the best of it. And I got to find out, well, what am I supposed to be learning from this to move on and be a better person, a stronger person? And I think with art, it's the same way. I don't get to decide how Michelangelo does that painting. I don't get to. I have to look at it with an open mind, take it all in, and does it work for me or not? And I think that's where it is. And I'm saying all this too because I get a little bit frustrated when I see people getting so, oh, I didn't like the way they did this, and I didn't like the way they did that. Look at it as a whole, and we're not done. I have a feeling episode 9 is going to make all those people that were so frustrated right now go, okay, now I get it. Oh, wow. That's, whew. I've needed to say that for ever since Last Jedi, I have to be honest with you.
No, and I agree with that. You know, I think that they do have to leave you there. I think that the whole, you know, who are Rey's parents. I mean, and there is that misdirection, you know, your parents are nobodies, your parents are this. That could have been used to, you know, obviously help out the plan. I mean, you look at the dark side.
Go ahead. You mean Kylo saying your parents are nobody?
Yeah.
Okay, well, guess what? Kylo has to think her parents are nobody because if she knows who she is, he can read her mind. So he will then know who she is, and the dark side will then know that she is a Skywalker, if she is. I don't know that, but I'm thinking she is. I think she's Luke's daughter. And in 8, when he says, do you know who you are? I think that was a father saying, I want you to know you're my daughter, but I can't tell you, because if I do and you think you're my daughter and you know it in your mind, the dark side will hear this and you're done. If you know that you're a Skywalker, if you know you're my daughter, you're dead. That's what I think.
And I'm right there with you. I mean, I think that it's so much more than what we think it is. I think that people were upset with The Last Jedi because they didn't get that, like you said, they didn't get their answers, they didn't get what they thought. How can Rey be a nobody? How could this be this and this be that? But, you know, it's the art of misdirection, and Star Wars is supposed to create these moments and create these opportunities and to make you think. And like you said, in the world we live in today, I want the answer, I want it now. When I go to Starbucks and I order my coffee, you know, the triple mocha choca latte, frappuccino, half calf, whatever, you want it within 3 minutes or you're not waiting for it. That is not Star Wars, and that is not good storytelling. So they have to paint this picture. You have to think that Carrie Fisher was going to die. You have to think that Luke Skywalker is gone. You have to have this notion that Snoke is dead, which I still don't think that that's the case. So there's all of these things that have been created, and I think that it's the art of misdirection, and I hope that Star Wars Episode 9 blows everybody's mind and makes people feel bad for judging Star Wars Episode 8. I really do.
Well, I mean, I hope that it blows their mind. I don't, you know, whether they'll feel bad, I don't know. But I hope it blows their mind and they go, wow, okay, now I get it. She's this and Snoke is that, and, you know, and all of it comes together. It will. I shouldn't promise you anything on behalf of Disney or Lucasfilm or George, but I could pretty much promise that you're going to get all your answers in 9. And you're going to leave the theater fulfilled. Finally, totally fulfilled.
Yeah, coming from Mark Dodson here with us on Superpowered Pop with DT and EB. Mark B., before we finish up here, I got to ask you about a picture that's on Facebook where you are with some interesting gentlemen, one of them being Freddy Krueger himself. Bring me into, you know, because not only, and this is why I like having you, at, you know, having you at the CNY Pop Festival and being friends with you in general, is that it's not about just coming to a show and let's, you know, sign some autographs, do this and leave. There's a genuineness to how you live your life. There's a care and concern, and that you network with really good people and you connect with good people and you build these relationships like those with Felix Silla and Bill Diamond. And so I have to ask you about the picture in early July that is up here on Facebook, and you know, you are a part of a quattro here, one of them featuring Freddy Krueger. So bring me into this and so let everybody know this experience.
Are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking at it right now.
I thought so. It felt like it. So I'm there with Freddy Krueger, the Indian from the Village People, the original. He really is Native American. Felipe Rose.
Yeah.
And Bishop, and then Bishop from Aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun night. Well, yeah, probably, honestly, one of the big reasons I like to keep doing the conventions is first of all, the fans. It's really gratifying to have the fans let you know how much they enjoy these things that you've been a part of. That's really, really gratifying. I'm not recognizable, my face. So I don't, I don't have to worry about going out and people bothering me ever. Once in a while, somebody, very seldom, somebody will recognize and say, "Are you the voice guy?" But not often. So it's really a pleasure and gratifying to me to have fans come up and tell me how much the Gremlins meant, or Star Wars, or what it's meant to them. So that's a reason. But then the other reason that I love doing the Comic Cons is the other actors that I've gotten to become, that I've become friends with because of the Comic Cons. And in fact, even some of the Star Wars actors that I never met, like Tim Rose, who is the puppeteer of Salacious Crumb, we never met. Yeah. We had to do a Comic Con to finally meet. And that was like 25 years later. And both of us were like, "I've wanted to meet you all these years." Well, he was in England. He's in the UK. I was in the US. When the UK screened Return of the Jedi, they screened it in the UK, and we screened it in San Francisco. We never met. So that's a great part. And so getting to hang out with people like Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, and then Felipe, he was so much fun. That was the first time I ever met him. And Lance Bishop, that's the big fun for us of doing these Comic-Cons, is that we all get together. We live kind of the same lives work-wise, we have the same angst and the same, we all still audition and we all still want the next job and we all still get upset when we don't get the one we really wanted. And so there's a camaraderie and there's a lot of for us to talk about, and our lives and what our personal lives are like, we're fathers and grandparents and we have our kids and we also, most of us, enjoy having a few drinks and kicking back and just laughing. And so, like, that picture there, that was one of the best times I've ever had at a Comic-Con. That was a great night. That was a great time. And we're just right there in the bar where the Comic-Con was going on, and fans come up and say hi and we'll talk, but yeah, that's one of the things. And so you mentioned, like, this show, Felix is there, Bill Diamond is there. We are very good friends. We talk at least every couple weeks, just how you doing. We also, like in the case with your show, we also help each other. We like to go on the same shows with each other. And there are times when it's like, well, I don't know, but if you're going to be there and if you're going to be there and we're going to be there together, let's do this and have fun. And because we do all work too during the week. So the weekends, I think the big draw for us isn't just, we do make some money, but I think it's getting to hang out and see each other and stay up late having drinks and then do it all over the next day,
Yeah. And to have that experience and to be able to do that, like you said, to connect with people like Bill Diamond and Felix Silla, for me, what I'm excited about and spoke with Bill about is that not only will you all be there together and it's nice that the organizer, so you'll all be three ducks in a row and be able to be next to each other and chat with each other because I talked to the organizer and he made it happen. But with that being said, and I'm being facetious, obviously that's me, but to have that come together and have that opportunity, I also said to Bill, I said, listen, when we have the panel discussions, I'll be hosting you, Felix, and Mark at the same time. He's like, oh my God, I love that, because you all get to talk and have fun. So what's fun for me is that I don't see this, like you said, yeah, you make some money, and that's a good part of it and this and that, but you go for the camaraderie and the drinks and staying up late talking and whatnot. for me, it's like, yeah, I'm organizing this event, but what I look forward to is sitting up on that stage with three friends and speaking on your connection and your bond, and that's the thing that makes me tick. So what can you say about the panel of the of what can I expect as your host, and what can they expect?
You've really set yourself up for with the panel. Having the three of us on a stage together, well, probably a lot of putting each other down more than any. You know, guy talk. You know, shop talk.
Yeah.
I can tell you already, Felix, he'll be like, oh, you're just a voice guy. You guys don't work. You just come in for an hour and you're done. We got to work hard. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, and same with Bill, you know. So you're going to get, with having the three of us on the stage together, you're going to have a hard time keeping us from just cutting each other up and putting each other down, really. It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And the CNY Pop Festival, it's obviously different. So in closing here with Mark Dodson, voice actor of Salacious Crumb and numerous characters inside of the Star Wars universe, the Gremlins, and so on and so forth. You know him from video games. You know him from so much work throughout time. And I feel so blessed to, you know, first and foremost, be your friend. And you know, coming to the CNY Pop Festival, it is different. It's not your typical convention. It's a break from the norm. I'm working on creating something original and different, and that is having, you know, because we're in Syracuse, former Syracuse basketball players and Syracuse football players, along with having TV and movie entertainers converging together on this great event with an interactive family fun area. Obviously, we'll have food there and a lot of local businesses. So for me, it was dare to be different. It is dare to be different. What do you like about the fact that there will be basketball player panels and football player panels, and then you're coming up with Bill and Felix, and then we're talking Flash and so on and so forth? It's not your typical convention, and I like being the unconventional convention, essentially.
The unconventional convention. I like that. Well, I like that just in itself. You're doing something different, you know, and you're going to bring in all these people from different walks of life and different, you know, that look at life from different angles, and you know, that's art to me. I mean, then having all those sports, I can't wait to meet some of those sports figures, you know. They're always really nice. I'm a St. Louis guy. I grew up in St. Louis. I live in St. Louis again. I moved back to my hometown. I just, because you said that, I remember I did a show here in St. Louis. Actually, it was Illinois. And they had some Cardinals, baseball Cardinal players came in, and one of them came over to my booth and he was like, I can't believe you're the Gremlins. I love the Gremlins and all this. And I'm like, dude, you're a big Cardinal star, man. I can't believe you're like, I gotta get up, you know. So that's one of those gratifying things that it's like, oh, you know, it's fun. So I'm looking forward to meeting all those people that I've never met. They're always really super nice. The sports guys that I've ever met in my life are very nice. And the ones I've met, I mean, other than Rodman or something, they're all, you know, yeah, I said it.
I think you can say it. He is friends with Kim Jong-un.
He's a real jerk, okay? He's a jerk. But 99% of them are super nice, super humble guys. And, you know, it'll be fun. I hope you'll probably find us, maybe the sports people and the actors, and we'll all get together. Saturday night, Sunday night, and you'll find us at the bar, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it'll obviously be a good time and something exciting to have. I think it's okay what I was saying before. If you're not a big fan of Rodman, he is a fan of Kim Jong-un. So I think if A equals B and B equals C, it's probably good that you're not friends with Dennis Rodman.
Well, he was just a jerk to a bunch of people that were at the show I was at, and I didn't appreciate it. He wasn't really a jerk to me, but he was to others, and I don't appreciate that. So, sorry. I don't usually talk bad about people, but he was exceptionally jerky.
Yeah, and I think that you and I have both experienced that. And you know,
you may want to cut this. I don't know. If you want to cut the Rodman thing, I get it.
No, I'm gonna leave it run because I think it's okay that the man married himself. So I think we're okay. That's a sign that nobody really wants to marry you when you have to marry yourself. So
that's, yeah.
So with that being said, and on that happy note, Mark Dodson will be at the CNY Pop Festival, and Mark and I will inevitably get to spend some time together. So Mark, just make sure to carve out some time for your boy over here, and we'll be good to go.
You bet. No, you'll be with us, man. You'll be with us.